Joshua chapter 24. We are going to look at a side, kind of a passage that's out of the sequence I've been in for the last couple of weeks, but very important one. Joshua chapter 24. Some sadness in this passage, but also some great gladness. Aren't you glad that for those of us that are saved, aren't you glad that there is life after death? Seems like lately there's been a lot of folks stepping into eternity. I talked to a pastor on Friday. His sister had just passed away, and just death is an ugly, sad, horrible thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death, and for you and I, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, your death is leaving this world and stepping into an eternity that's going to be wonderful. But before we get there, before we step into that eternity, we need to make some choices. And one in particular I'm going to look at today in Joshua chapter 24. If you have your Bible, look at Joshua chapter 24 and look at verse 29. Joshua 24, 29, it says in the Bible, "It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." Right before Joshua died, beginning in chapter 24 and verse 1, he gathered Israel together and he gave them one last simple message. I'm going to give that message to you today. We won't look at every verse, but we will look at the gist of it. And he's going to ask you, just as he asked them, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. In fact, you have no choice. You have to make a decision. We'll look at that here in just a minute. But let's have a word of prayer and look at the choice we must make. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. Thank you for examples of men like Joshua that served you. The last thing you said about him before he died was he was a servant of the Lord. God, today our heart's desire is that folks would hear from you, not from us, but that the word of God would speak to them. But Lord, use us as a vessel, we pray. Give us the thoughts and the actions that we need to communicate the message you have for us this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have gone out to eat with someone else? And you order what you choose on the menu, and they order what they chose on the menu, and the waitress comes to the table with the food, and you look at theirs, and you look at yours, and you go, I wish I'd have got that. I learned a lesson. I've learned this lesson well. I'm going to share it with you. If you ever go out to eat with Mr. Mendez, get what he's having. I've learned the hard way. Don't make that mistake. He knows what's best on the menu, especially at Raul and Teresa's, Carolina's, Comedor Guadalajara. Where else have we been, brother? I don't know. But whatever Mr. Mendez orders, you don't even have to look at the menu. Just sit there quietly while Mr. Mendez looks. And when he says, I'm having that, yep, that's what I want to. He's got it down. He knows the best restaurants, the best food. Because he has some experience. He has seen the choices. Joshua is about to die. In fact, the Bible even tells us this fellow's up in the years. Wow, how old is he? It says in verse 29, 110? I don't want to live that long. I think by then I'm going to be not much of me left. I'm already hurting. I'm only 65. But he had been through a lot. He had seen a lot. He had seen what God could do. Remember, Joshua was the man that led Israel when they conquered the promised land, when they defeated all those enemies and took the land that God promised them. He's the one that led them through that. He could see the kind of victory God could give. He, way back in Exodus, what chapter would that have been? 17 maybe? When the Amalekites attacked the Israelites, Moses chose Joshua to lead in the battle. Joshua was a man that for at least 60 or 70 years, was used greatly by God. He made a decision. He said, I'm going to serve God. Now, think about this. You ordered your food. The other person made their choice. You made your choice. The waitress comes to the table and they put their food on the table and yours isn't as good as theirs. You know, the sad thing is, it's too late. You made your choice, didn't you? And I can tell you this, listen to me carefully. You're making choices right now that are going to affect your eternity. I've made those choices. Mr. Mendez has made those choices. You've made some choices as well. The good news is, it's not too late to change that decision. One day it will be. How many of you have chosen to trust Christ as your Savior? Raise your hand and you put it back down. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want you to know something. Aren't you glad you made that choice? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body, if you're saved, is to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says if you're not saved, the Bible says about a man that wasn't saved in Luke chapter 16, in hell he lift up his eyes. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. There's no second chance. There's no second life. There's no coming back. There's no doing it again. Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. He made a choice available to you that you otherwise wouldn't have had, because if he hadn't have died on that cross and been buried and rose again the third day, you wouldn't have a choice. You'd have had to go to hell for all eternity. Aren't you glad Christ died for your sins? Amen. We just sang about, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? He loved you so much he was willing to die for your sins. That's how much he loved you. And now, you have a choice. You can choose to ask Christ to be your Savior and forgive you for your sins, or you can reject him. The Bible tells us that many people did. In fact, when he walked on this earth, the description Isaiah gave is, he was despised and rejected. The Bible says that that the people deemed him stricken and afflicted, and there was no comeliness that they would look upon him. In other words, they were not attracted to him. And it may be that some people have made Christianity appear unattractive. Just remember this, a lot of what the world calls Christianity is a farce. There is a real Christianity. There is a real Bible. There is a real God. There is a real Savior. There is a real salvation. There is a real Christian walk. And if everybody else chooses to reject Christ, that doesn't mean you have to. I think you're in a company today where most of the folks have chosen to accept Christ. But that's not the choice Joshua is talking about here. It's another choice that he's talking about. And let me show you what he says to the people to get them ready for this choice. There's a preparation here. And to see that, let's just look at a couple of things back in chapter 24, if you would, please. I'll begin in verse 2. Joshua has gathered the elders. He's gathered the people. And they have come to hear from him. And in verse 2, Joshua begins to speak. And he says, unto all the people. By the way, it's a message for everyone. Amen? He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, I just got to remind you right there. When God said it, that settles it. There's no debate. There's no question. There's no accuracy issue. There's no fact checking. When God says it, that settles it. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Don't let that flood worry you too much. He's not talking about Noah's flood. He's talking about the day when they came out of Egypt. Moses led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. They came through. The Egyptians thought they would follow. Moses turned around, and as the Egyptian army was in the middle of the Red Sea, the sea closed on them and killed them all. That's the flood he's talking about. Back in Egypt, he says, things were different. He says they dwelt in that area. And then he even goes back to Terah, who's the father of Abraham. That's a long time ago. And talks about Nahor. And he says, they served other gods. And he says, and I took your father Abram, verse 3, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And he goes on and he talks about, in verse 4, he talks about Isaac and Jacob and Esau. Talks in verse 5 about Moses and Aaron. And then in verse 6, Joshua 24, 6, he says, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen in the Red Sea, unto the Red Sea. When they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you. He's telling that story of deliverance there. And then he says in verse 7, he says, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Now you got to remember, that was 40 years ago. This generation that he's talking to is a generation after the one that went through the Red Sea. This is the second generation, because the first one wouldn't believe God and couldn't take the promised land and died because of lack of faith. A lot of Christians, I'm sorry to say, wander through life just like the people in the wilderness for lack of faith. They wander through life. They never see victory. They never see deliverance like they could. They never see blessings like they could have because of a lack of faith. Folks, trust God. But what's he doing here? Why is he telling them all this? He's leading them up to this choice. He's going to ask them to make a decision here in just a minute. What he's doing here is he's telling them, look what God did for you. Amen? Now, I just asked you a while ago if you're saved, and if you could not raise your hand, or if you're not sure, you can be. Jesus died for your sins. The Bible makes it very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, the Bible makes it very clear, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation, not to a priest, not to me, not to some other man, but to God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No question about it. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. So Moses led the people out of Egypt, but God's the one that delivered them. And Joshua, who took Moses' place when Moses died, tells the people, I'm about to die. Let's stop and talk a minute before I do. And the first thing he wants them to think about is what God has done for them. Now, God saved you, amen? That's the greatest thing anybody could ever do for you. But that's not all he's done. He talked about the leading in the wilderness. He talked about victories. He talked about deliverances. God's been good to us. I made a little note on the back of the bulletin. Folks, I hope you're not trusting in this world, because this world's not getting better. I hope you're not hoping to make this world the best that there is for you, because this world is going downhill fast. The hope we've got is not here. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And not so much just for eternity, but I hope in him right now. About 2 weeks ago, on a Friday, I had learned that there had been a golf cart stolen. And I walked out those doors right back there in the corner of the building at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. It's 4:09, I think, was the timestamp on the photo. And I walked out, and right by these doors right here, there's a man trying to sell a golf cart to two people. Go figure. This is no coincidence. Stolen golf cart. Why would someone come to a church to sell a golf cart? Sell it at your house. No, he didn't want them to know where he lived. So he's out there by these doors trying to sell this golf cart to these people. And my handy-dandy camera, I took several pictures and kind of tried to be sneaky about it, but I'm not good at that. And so then I waited a little bit and sat in my car for a while around the corner where nobody could see me, because that's where my car's parked, and kind of paid attention. And sure enough, they didn't buy the golf cart. And this fellow took off down the street, down Ocotillo here. And I followed at a safe distance, watched where he went. Got there, got the address, took a couple more pictures, went back and sent a message to the people, and I said, hey, is this your golf cart? That's it, they said. I said, I know where it is. Didn't hear another thing about it for about a week. The police came by church at noon, I don't know, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, I can't remember. They came by about a week ago. Police came by, and you know, why are policemen so big? Man, this guy's huge. He had 7.5 feet tall, and you know, and so he came in, and Israel saw him. Wasn't he big, Israel? Yeah, he was big. And Israel says he wants to be his partner, and the fellow said, well, you got to get training or something like that. Anyway, long story short, I gave him the photos, I gave him the address, I gave him everything he needed to know. So nothing happened. I asked the people, did you get your golf cart back? No, we haven't got our golf cart back. So I thought, well, I guess he sold it, and it must be too late. So last Friday, Thursday or Friday, I was kind of getting discouraged a little bit, just kind of thinking, you know, I'd like for the Lord to do something in my life. I want to be used by God, folks. Amen? Do you want to be used by God? I looked at my phone and I got a message from these people. And here's what it said. This morning, our children prayed that they would get the golf cart back. And we got the golf cart back today. And we are so glad. Thank you. And our faith in the community and our faith in the police has been restored. Thank the Lord for returning our golf cart. And I thought, hey, God used me. Amen? I didn't expect to be used. I just walked out the door. Happened to know that a golf cart had been stolen. Walk out the door. Took a couple of photos, and God used me to be a blessing to a little child who prayed to God, God, would you give our daddy his golf cart back? And that feels good, doesn't it? Do you remember the last time you saw somebody get saved because of your ministry? That feels good, doesn't it? Remember that little child? I can see this every Sunday. I have the blessing of sitting on that bus and watching those children come up, and I can say hi to them and see them getting on that bus to come to hear about Jesus. That's a blessing. Folks, it's a blessing to be used by God. What Joshua is saying to these people is, he says, number one, look what God's done for you. And then what does he say? And let's look at verse 15 and look at the end of the verse first, and then we'll read the first part. Look at the very last, I don't know, 8 or 10 words. After that colon there at the end of verse 15. Are you there? He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what Joshua said? I made my choice. And he is about to step into eternity in verse 29 and be rewarded for it. Amen? Have you made your choice to serve God? Be careful. It is possible to be saved and not be serving. But Joshua is a man with some credentials. Because you see, what Joshua can say is, I made my choice, and these people already know what God has done for Joshua. What's God done through you and for you? Say, well, Pastor, I have a house and a car and a job. Yeah, lots of lost folks have those. How many souls have you got? You see, when you step into eternity, any of the treasure left here on earth, I don't know who's going to get it, but it won't be you. You've heard me say it too many times. You never saw a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take anything with you except what you lay ahead. What's God done in your life? Amen? Can you say, I made my choice, and others can see God has blessed you for it? Amen? Now, it's not too late, because look at the rest of that verse, and I'm not going to be long, but it's a very important verse. Look at verse 15 again. He says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. If it seem evil unto you to choose the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You have a choice, don't you? You don't have to serve God. There are some people, they wouldn't say it, but they have decided it's evil. It's not helpful. It's not beneficial to them to serve God. They'd rather serve something else. They might be willing to serve money. They might be willing to serve pleasure. They might be willing to serve leisure. They might be willing to serve possessions. They might be willing to serve, I don't know, whatever makes them feel good. I asked my high school Bible class this week, what makes people sad? We talked about grief and death is sad. And Jesus wept in John 14:35, and Jesus wept, and why would he weep? And what makes us sad? And then I asked him this, what makes you happy? You know what makes me happy? I think the most happy is when you can make somebody else happy. When you can make God happy. It made me happy to know somebody got their golf cart back and I got to be a part of that. That made me feel good. And God had to do it, amen? But God let me be in the right place at the right time, talk to the right people. They had to subpoena, apparently offer up to get the records of who bought the thing and then chased it down and got it back to them. I sent the policeman a text message and said, thank you for your hard work and keep it up. And he appreciated that comment. And it makes you feel good to do something for somebody else, doesn't it? You know what would make you feel good? Come out and work in Vacation Bible School with some little child that hadn't got a whole lot of home life and hasn't got a whole lot of possessions and hasn't got a whole lot of anything, but we can point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and they can get saved and they can learn more and more and more about Him and be changed. Amen? That feels good. You know, you say, well, I made some money today. Yeah, you make some money every day. Well, I bought a new this or it's nice to have nice things. But it won't make you happy. Not like serving other people. Mr. Dahlman sends out a text message every morning pointing some piece of wisdom out of the Bible to everyone. And he's picked the verse of verses today. Jesus says to his disciples, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, be a servant. And then do you know what Jesus did after that? He washed the disciples' feet. Can you imagine? I don't know if you realize that was the lowest servant's job, was to wash the traveler's feet. It was a dirty job. It was an unpleasant job. It was a humiliating, in some sense, job. Jesus says, I want to show you, you need to serve. You need to serve one another. Amen? I honestly, in recent days, have been reinvigorated by this. I just want to be a servant of God. And I think, if I'm willing to do that, two or three things are going to happen. One, He'll give me opportunities to serve. And then secondly, He'll bless that service and it'll produce fruit to glorify Him. And then thirdly, that'll make me feel great. Someone says, I don't want to do that job. Okay, I will. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if we all had that kind of attitude? I just thought of in Salt Lake City, we were there, that was 25, 30 years ago. There was a lady, my wife was listening to this conversation and told me about it. This lady was telling another lady in the nursery, she says, now, when they ask you to help, don't be afraid to say no. How does that help anybody? Folks, when they ask you to help, say, praise the Lord, yes, I can be a servant. I very seriously doubt if anybody's going to ask you to wash somebody's feet. It'll probably be a whole lot more pleasant than that. I'm not going to ask you to do that. Nobody else here would either. But I might ask you to clean a bathroom. I might ask you to come to Vacation Bible School and help a little child get saved. I might ask you to teach a class. I might ask you to ride the bus or whatever it might be. Folks, be willing to be a servant. Be that person that says, oh, good. No one else took that job. I want that job. You know, right now, as I understand it, we're a little bit short on snacks for next Sunday morning. We don't have anybody who signed up yet. Is that the way it is right now? Who wants to bring donuts next Sunday? Somebody raise your hand. Come on. My preaching must not be very good today. I'm not getting any results. Joey's hand's up. Come on. Hey, folks, I'll bring them. Amen. Pam will bring them. Amen. Anybody else? Folks, it's just donuts. What's the hold up here? You got to, there, Andrew will bring some. I just want to tell you, you're making a choice. I don't think I want to serve. Okay. I suggest when you make the decision not to, you're going to step into eternity and be just like me at the table. When he got the good food and I didn't, you're going to say, I wish I'd have chosen what those other folks chose. Because you know what Jesus is going to say to some people? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, Pastor, it takes time. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, it might cost me some money. I'll pay for it. If you'll pick them up, I'll pay for them if you can't afford donuts. Oh, Pastor, I got big plans. I really don't have time to do that. Okay, I'll make time and do it. But folks, you're missing out. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And the choice is not a good one in one sense, because if you choose not to serve God, did you see the alternative here? It's the gods on the other side of the flood. The things that you used to trust in that couldn't save you, won't reward you, won't make you happy, don't meet your needs, and wind up being nothing but empty, hollow vanity. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm almost done. Let's look at this just a little bit more. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then he says in verse 16, look at this. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They understood the choice, didn't they? That's the choice. You can serve the Lord or you can serve idols. Now here's the sad, sad thing, and we're going to be done quick today, but it's a very important thought. They said, God forbid, that's one of the strongest ways to say no in the Bible. God forbid that we should serve other gods. If you're in Joshua chapter 24, what's the next book of the Bible? Somebody tell me. Judges. Do you know the story of Judges? Joshua died. And in the book of Judges, the Bible says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And they forsook God, and they served other things. And you know what happened to them? They were oppressed. They were punished. They were suffering. They were doing without. They were defeated. You know the stories in Joshua, stories like the story of Gideon. And Gideon was the fellow that was, he was threshing wheat. He was hiding, threshing some wheat, because if the Midianites saw it, they'd come take it away from him. So he's hiding, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, you're going to deliver Israel. And I'm paraphrasing this, but Gideon says, I'm hiding, threshing wheat. Why are you talking to me? I'm not the guy. You might think you're not the person, but God says you could be. And God used Gideon to deliver Israel. And that story repeats over and over and over. Israel sins, serves idols, falls into suffering, falls into oppression and pain. And then they cry out to God, Lord, save us. And he sends someone like Gideon to save them. And as soon as they get saved from that oppression, they go right back to the sin again. Right back to the idolatry and right back to the suffering. And it happens over and over and over. So it's one thing to say, verse 16, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. But that's just what they did. Here's my point. It's not what you say that matters, it's what you do. If we sent a sign-up sheet around and said, how many people here how many people here love the Lord? We'd all sign the sign-up sheet. Well, I love the Lord. No problem there. If I send a sign-up sheet back around, how many are going to work in vacation Bible school? Not quite so many signatures. Because it's easy to say things. It's not as easy to do them. Joshua says this. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he did. And he placed his order. He made his choice. And henceforth, for him is laid up a crown of righteousness. That's what Paul said about himself. When you step out of this life, death is inevitable unless the Lord comes back. We're all going to die. And we're going to step into that place, that veil called death. And we're going to, if you're saved, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Going to be with Jesus for all eternity. Once you step into eternity, it's too late to change your choice. When the waitress shows up to the table and puts the plate down, that's what you get. Maybe today somebody would say, I've chose the wrong thing. You know, the good news, until that food shows up, it's not the greatest idea, but it's possible. Call the waitress back and say, wait, I changed my mind. I was with Mr. Mendez for lunch the other day, and I changed my mind at the last minute. I said, wait, I don't want that, I want this. And that's what I got. It's not too late to decide to choose to serve God, amen? But here's the last thought, and I'm done. Look at what he says, and I'm finished. He says, choose you this day. This day. Folks, it's time to make a choice. It's time to make a decision, amen? And I will mention, although it's not time to develop this, but it's a daily decision. Every day. What if you woke up and you said, God, I want to be used today. I'm available. I'm where you put me. I'm doing what you told me to do. Would you use me today? Wouldn't that be good? He answered my prayer. I think he'll answer yours as well. So you got to make a choice. And it's just as simple as donuts. No, I can't do that. I've got some other whatever reason. I don't have any reason better than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I hope you don't either. Let's all stand and pray.